Welcome to Opening Presents, the podcast about creative self-realization. My name is Aaron Robinson. Thank you so much for joining me. In today's episode, I sit down with Murphy Welch, a multidisciplinary artist whose work embodies the magical spirit of nature. In this conversation, we discuss the hidden beauty in death and how giving ourselves permission to do the things that excite us is actually an act of self-love. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to share it with a friend. Now, without further ado, welcome to Opening Presents. Welcome to Opening Presents. My name is Aaron Robinson. Thank you so much for joining us today. We've got a colorful, intentional episode for you. Today, I am joined by Murphy Welch. How are you?
I'm great. How's it going?
It's going well. Thank you so much for having me in your beautiful space with amazing lighting.
Thanks. Welcome.
Yeah. And before we start, I have to commend you on like your lotus position. We're sitting in the living room and like you're in full lotus and I'm in like hunchback of Notre Dame over here struggling.
That's fine. I actually went skiing the other day and like had a crazy fall, so I'm trying to pay attention to my posture. So I'm like, it's half that I do lotus and half that I need to keep my back straight.
did you grow up as a kid with bad posture?
You know, there was a time in my youth that I was like, my back hurt all the time, and I was a kid. So I'm like, something's got to be wrong. And then one day I just realized, like, I kind of came back into my body, which was what a useful experience to have as a kid. And, like, it's served me so much as I got older. But yeah, I basically just paid attention to how I was sitting. I was just sitting in weird positions, you know, like playing with Legos or playing video games or whatever the hell.
Yeah. Describe what is coming back into the body like feel like, or what does that mean as it happened?
Oh gosh. It basically was just like a connection got made between the result of my posture not being good. And it was basically like a cause and effect. I was realizing, oh, I can have an effect on how I feel. And it like obviously down the road paid dividends in like me being like, oh, the way I treat my body affects me in more ways than just how my body even feels. So, you know, as a kid, I learned like, oh, if you sit in this position for a long time, your back's going to hurt in a week or tomorrow or whatever. But it turned into like, if you treat your body this way, then your mind will feel like this. Mm. So yeah, the mind body connection I was already like trying to explore it as a kid, but who knows how I got disconnected from it. It feels like I don't know. Who knows?
Sure. Yeah. There's a lot of different like ways, like a lot of like kids and a lot of people like get disconnected, like before birth, like while they're in their mother's womb, it's like, whatever the mother is experiencing, whether she's disconnecting from herself, and maybe, and this is just projection. I'm not a woman. I'm not able to carry a child, but like losing a sense of autonomy by the addition of another person within self. And it's like, oh, I'm not alone anymore. And there could be a grieving or a dissociation with that process.
Cause super interesting.
It's a possibility. Just throwing ideas out there and seeing, I don't know, like trying to learn more. But yeah, like the idea of being able to cultivate our energies and seeing that we can affect our moods by like just by holding ourselves with like a more confident or straighter spine and holding our posture in a certain sense, it like sends the signal that like I'm here, I'm present, I am safe. But when we kind of like unknowingly, like I'm definitely like a sloucher. Like my head pulls forward and my big shoulders like cave in, and it's like I'm trying to like protect my heart. Mm-hmm. And it's like definitely like a subconscious thing that like over the years, like where I realize it's like, oh, like my heart has been this dormant instrument within my body that I hadn't allowed it to start playing its tempo or playing its beat. Like I always just like everything else can go, but like the heart needs to be protected. And part of like my own awakening, like it started at like the heart. Like I'm super mentally like driven, mm-hmm. but I think like the magic like comes in when like the heart is a part of the equation, when I allow the heart to lead instead of like the logical mind like leading. That's when the synchronicities happen. That's when flow happens for me, is when it's like, oh, like let's just like let the heart take over, and I don't have to think about what's next. I can just feel what's next and learn how to trust the intelligence that lays within.
Yeah, do what excites you. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that. That's cool.
Yeah. That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
Yeah. What excites you? Like what, like your earliest explorations, as a kid or as a young adult, like coming into, cause you're one of the people who I look at, I'm like, oh, like Murphy is a true artist.
Oh, wow.
Crafts, like crafts person. Like you just get your hands to it. And like, what I've noticed is that I don't know like what your relationship to social media is, but it's like I can sense that you're just doing the things that you love to do, and it doesn't matter about what the world thinks about it, and like you're invested in the things that you love fully and completely, and like the end result is like evident, like the quality, like the innovation across multiple mediums, like you just go in, and I was like, oh shit, like you have so much volume, but it's all, you could tell that you took a lot of time developing a lot of these things. But yeah, what are some of like the things that inspired you early on, and maybe if there are any through lines to today?
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of big compliments. Thanks so much. I honestly, and like do what excites you is such a mantra in my life. So it's like, I just follow that through to social media. Like I only post what excites me. Like I do a bunch of stuff, and I obviously I have a life. Like I like to just lead my life, and then social media is like things that I'm like, oh, like I want to share this with people. Like this is something cool that I made, or I don't know. I like to inspire, so it's good to hear that that's like coming through. But as far as like inspiration for art, it's, I mean, my art has turned into a spiritual practice, maybe I shouldn't say it turned into, but I've realized that it's been a spiritual practice for like my whole life, and just didn't like know that that was, could be, it could even be considered as that. It was just something that I love to do, and it like literally put me at ease and like connected me to deeper meaning and like developed connections in my mind. Like as I'm working on things, I'm like having epiphanies and revelations and things like that. Like it's teaching me as much as I'm creating it. So, but the real, like, I don't know, I was really in like college. I went to art school and I was like really obsessed with death. I was like, I was
you're that person.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I was like drawing skulls and like all sorts of things. I was like really, I didn't, you know, express it too much in my schoolwork, but it was kind of what I was thinking about. My mind was on it a lot. And I've had a lot of death in my life. Like I'm the oldest living member in my bloodline.
Wow.
Yeah. So my mom and my dad, and then all of their elders are dead at this point. And in college, it wasn't quite that way. It happened, like, you know, it's happened over time, obviously. But there was a big, my mom dying when I was 9 was like a big thing in my life. And it was like a, and I, maybe that's where the death fascination came from. But it's just super interesting that now like it's basically death has turned into change, and I've realized that it's just a transition, it's just a morphing, it's just a subsuming into like everything else, mm-hmm. and you're just kind of like this it's become like, how do I express this awareness of the world through my art? And like, how do I express the idea of change through artistic practice? And it's like this never ending chase for like, where has my creativity gone? Like, is it in music? Is it in sculpture? Is it in painting? Where is it? Like,
yeah.
And it's kind of like the obsession with death. Like, I like, you know, came to terms with death and then moved it into the realm of change. And then it's been such a liberating thing, because now when change happens, it's not always easy. Obviously, change is hard for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't never gets like, there's always going to be something that challenges you, but there's like this little silver lining on it every time that I'm like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Things are shifting. Here we go. Like, mm-hmm. accept it as it is and keep moving. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry to hear about like the presence of death, but it's like, yeah. everyone's going to experience that at yep. some point, and like some earlier than others. And I think like death is like the greatest teacher, at least in my own life. I'm just like, oh my gosh, like that little hint of like excitement, like not to be morbid or anything like that. It's like, I want everyone to live and thrive. And I wish my mom was here. Like, I wish my grandparents were here. It's mm-hmm. like, I wish my dog was here. I lost him almost a year ago. But after experiencing it a number of times, the presence of change and just knowing that your whole world is going to be different and the welcoming of it is something that I've experienced over the last couple of years. And
cool.
like how much like joy has been brought, pumped into my life to allow myself to become more of who I am and onboard and express like the lessons that my mother has taught me. And it's like, now that the training wheels are off, it's like, let's see what really stuck without kind of like this kickstand or reference point, or like I'm leaning up against like a parental structure or societal structure. I'm like, oh, like I got to swim into the deep end now and yep. to have the opportunity to explore the depths of ourselves and the depths of our relationships. It's like, I'm grateful. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, like death is a beautiful thing. And like the fact that that was like, whew, that was like early on in your life, like that must have been very confusing, but it feels like you were able to kind of pull from it and act with it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still dealing with it, obviously.
Oh, for sure.
It's never going to end. But the interesting thing also when you think about death is like, it's so unavoidable. Like, even in my art, we're sitting next to my table that's carved from like reclaimed Doug fir. Like, that's death. That tree is there now.
Mm.
Like, you know, that tree isn't living anymore, but it is in this sculpture. And like, when every time you cook, that's death. I was thinking that last night when I was making pasta. I was like looking at all these like mushrooms and cauliflower and like all these things I was putting into this pasta. And I'm like, oh, these are all like living things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is death as you eat it. And like, where do you think you came from? Like, how do you think you were born? Your parents had to eat a bunch of dead things. So it's like the nature of this reality is that there is death and life intertwined.
Why do you think it's so hard for us to like accept that? And especially in Western culture, because when I was in Mexico City, like I was expressing to my friend Elliot and Jesse, I was like, oh, like here, like people understand death. You could just walk around. There's like in the West, like there's like this general sense of anxiety in a lot of people. And it's, I've kind of like come to the conclusion, it's like, oh, it's like that, the elephant in the room. It's like, there's this death thing that I don't know how to like articulate or create room or space for. It's like, I'm avoiding this thing at all costs. And I'm always running away from this psychic boogeyman. And it's like, yo, like you're not going to get away from it. But in Mexico City, like everyone was just comfortable in their own skin at all levels of class. It was just like, yeah, we know we're going to die someday. That's why we have this festival called Day of the Dead.
We remind ourselves and we celebrate it.
Exactly.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I can't answer why they feel that way. But like, to me, it feels like we are so far removed from, you know, there used to be like, I think in our ancient past, a lot of worship and spiritual practices revolved around vegetation and like vegetation gods and things like that.
Hmm.
And what a way to remove the fear of death. Like basically when you die, you become plants. Like you feed the plant gods.
Mm-hmm.
Like you are one with these things that you worship, like these big trees and vegetables that you eat all the time that feed you and like provide for you. So like, why would you fear death in that type of worship? And like, definitely we were removed from that. Like that's so far removed from people's thoughts.
Yeah.
And then there's also like the predator prey scenario or relationship. Like we used to have this very visceral experience with death, and where it was like this endorphin releasing adrenaline thing. Like you were food and you're the eater of food. So it was like a really like the disconnection from that part of eating and living is, I feel like, comes at the price of like the safety of all of that, like from all of that comes at the price of getting the fear and anxiety, the abstract thing that like you can't really defeat that. Like it's very hard to overcome that fear of death. Like everybody has it. So yeah, I feel like the removal from those types of like ways of thinking and interacting with literal reality, like with existence, is a big contributor to the fear of death. And this is something that I've been thinking about lately, so it's interesting that we're all of a sudden on this topic.
Here we are. Like, think how many times like we like initiate like a fear response when there is nothing to fear. It's like scenarios like
that aren't even happening.
Yeah,
maybe?
That's not even present right now. And like, yeah, even going back to how we started the conversation, is like constructing our realities, and like whatever the body, whatever you tell like yourself is happening, like that's like what is happening in that moment. It's like your body like doesn't know the difference. So if you're initiating a fight or flight response because like your bills are late, those chemicals are going through your body.
We're such good storytellers. Like we can tell ourselves stories.
Yeah, we can convince ourselves of literally anything. That's why I'm like slowly over the last number of years, like I'm moving into best case scenario, like manifestation, just tell myself the good story, because there is a light, just like we find the good within like death in the truth within it too. It's like, it's connected to something that's very like practical too. It's not like a spiritual thing that when you die, like you become soil. It's like, it's a literal,
that's very what's going to happen.
Yeah. It's like literal and practical. And it's just like, oh, like I'm not operating on like this, escapism type of route. Like no, it's a very connected to the laws of nature. But coming into that space over the last couple of years has allowed me to kind of like settle in and be like, oh, like I'm not gonna trip over things that I can't control anymore. And when change does occur, it's like I'm looking for the opportunity at ground zero. I'm just like, I'm reveling like through like the roughage, and there's like gonna be like this little spark, and it's like, oh, what is that little thing? And it's like calling out for you, and you see it,
yeah,
and you're like, oh cool, I'm gonna take like all of like the little like diamonds that are littered across like this wreckage and make something or collect something or build something beautiful, without like throwing ourselves on this like path of misery. Yeah. Which is always an option. Like misery is always an option. And we have to like look for reasons to live, look for reasons to be optimistic.
Yeah, absolutely. My friend, this is all just bringing up like you talking about rummaging through the ground. My friend Tiana, as I was going through like a hard time and like kind of just like a creative lull, like I didn't even like reveal a ton of it to them, but they basically said, oh yeah, you're tilling the soil. And it was such a, like, you know, plants again, but a more agricultural reference. But that just, I was like, oh, yeah, you can either just like lay there and wallow on like the barren ground, mm-hmm. or you can start tilling that soil, look for the seeds, like plant the seeds, because this is the time to do it. Like when there's not a lot happening, when you think there's like no life left in that soil, like till it up. Like that's how you do it.
Yeah, most definitely. I think within that, especially like as artists releasing like the expectations of like having to have something hit.
Yeah, and execute on something.
Oh my God. Yeah. Letting go of that, because it's like the creative mind like just doesn't stop in general. But there's like that sweet spot in time where it's just like everything just flows at the same time. And it's happened so many times before where it's just like, if I'm in a lull or like nothing's cracking right now, it's like,
that's oh, fine.
That's where I like dive into my health and like, yeah. I'm just going to focus on like what I'm eating and just be completely obsessed with like the gym and all that kind of stuff. And
because you need to be prepared for when it wants to come out.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like the idea of being prepared, like even like yesterday I got called, I don't know, like around like noon to do a live recording of this very podcast in Pioneer Square, like with like an audience and guests that I had no clue that I hadn't reached out to yet. And I'm just like, oh, here's an opportunity to like share my message, to share my energy, to create community.
Awesome.
Like, but on like a pinch. And it's just like, oh, like I will make this thing happen right now. I wasn't seeking anything. It was just like, oh, here's something, like, but I didn't have to get ready for it. It was just
you
like,
had the bandwidth, you had all the stuff ready.
Yeah. And it's like in I was unprepared, and I'm and the willingness to show up, like being completely unprepared, because you just know that it's gonna push you into another expression of self. I feel like I'm addicted to transformation and evolution cool. and evolving and growth. Just growth in general. Yeah. It's just like, what is the thing that's gonna like allow me to become the next version of myself? And that obviously shifts every single day. But like the little increments and embracing just those little slivers of opened awareness.
Yeah.
It's just like a little nudge. And a lot of the times it's like untraceable, but then like those experiences that allow us to know that we've arrived, because those moments are always coming, whether it does come in death or this expansive connected experience.
Yeah.
Like either one of those like are going to happen, and to know that you've been present and doing the work up until that point, like, is very rewarding when you're engaged with life and not just like slopping around and like, oh, poor me. It's like nobody else had it this hard. Like, that doesn't help anybody.
No. No, and it won't help future you. No, definitely not. And yeah, I like to live on the edge of uncertainty. That's like where creativity happens. That's another mantra.
That's so funny. My friend Attila Betyar, he was a guest on one of the podcasts, but that's what our episode is called. I typically allow ask guests to name the episodes if like they're artists or whatever. But yeah, that's what that episode is called, is The Edge of Uncertainty.
I have to go listen to it.
Yeah, then. No, it's a great one. And he's a fantastic artist.
Yeah, I love that. The Edge of Uncertainty is so great.
Yeah, The Edge of Uncertainty.
And it's like, and there's, what did I see? It was some like quote from Bjork, but it was amazing. Such an amazing quote about chasing. I kind of like touched on it, like chasing your creativity to different corners. Like, where is it? Like, it's such a little like, it's not devious, but it's like playful and trickstery. Like, you don't know where that creativity is going to pop up. And like, you kind of have to just like chase it around and wait for it to come back and stuff like that.
Yeah. And sometimes like for me, I feel like it's becoming less and less medium. Like I don't know if this makes sense, but it's like, it's like if creativity is like the water, then it's like, I'm creating the cup or I'm creating the bowl in which it sits in.
Cool.
And yeah, and it's just like all of the elements, like the structure of like doing this podcast and like and reaching out to you in that kind of thing. I feel like there's just like an artistry that I'm experiencing.
Yeah, creating just by containers.
Reaching out and like dialoguing for however long, however much like anyone needs to be convinced to sit down with me in like their living room. But it's just like, that part is fun. It's just like, ooh, who else is going to be available or who else could I talk to? And and I'm thinking about other people while they're living their lives. And then it's like, all right, here's like this like Cupid's arrow, like that I can like grab someone's attention. And then the willingness that they want to share energy and share space with me. I think creating hospitality like in proximity is something that I really, really enjoy.
Cool. Yeah, that's great. Hosting is an art for sure. Yeah,
finding that, like, that's just fun. It's just like, oh, how do we create a container for people to experience their highest expression, or at least like allow? I'm like, yo, you're safe. Like, that's the best thing in the world. Cause then I was like, okay, like, yep, you can explore, you can try that backflip that you've been looking around to see if anybody's watching you. It's like, no, like, do the backflip, do the damn thing. Yeah. So when you say like creativity, like, where is the creativity and like following it into different corners? What corners has it led you?
Oh gosh, so many. And it's funny. I was just thinking as you were talking, I'm like, I try not to do that too much. I try to just listen, but things have been coming up and I'm like, it's so interesting how you were talking about, like, your creativity is amorphous. Like, it's, you're creating things, but it doesn't even be, like, half the time. I'm just imagining, like, you're creating this container for us to talk, and like most of it is just like scheduling and having the gear ready and like just funny things. And I'm like thinking about me like in my shop woodworking, and I'm like, yeah, my creativity is like me like just having the idea and sketching it down, and then the rest is just, you're just kind of like toiling, you're like working and making it happen, and that's it. So I think a lot of people like get, this is just something I wanted to touch on, but people get like they're like, they just want the spark and the inspiration, but creativity goes so much deeper than that, and it like, and you have to like allow it to take you into different realms. You have to allow it, like, you know, it takes me into sawdust land half the time, and I'm just in there like with a mask on and like the dust collection going and like cutting things like repeatedly over and over and then like carving it, and then there's like, you know, and then like along the way there's like 5 points where I'm like, oh, my hand, like, this is really where like the spirit is coming through, like, this is really where it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as corners, like where it's taken me, it's just everywhere. Like, I was in a band for 6 years of my life, so music was a big thing. And then I kind of just went, nope, don't want to make music anymore. Like, nothing's inspiring me there. So where's my creativity? And I started painting and letting go of a bunch of like preconceived, like, it, basically my creative practice just asked me to let go of like all this stuff that I was holding on to, like all these like prejudices basically that I didn't even know I had. But I would look at art, like the art I make now, and go, oh, that I can make that, like, but I don't want to, that's like whack, like I don't need to do that. And then once I started making it, I'm like, oh, this is amazing, like this is doing so much for me, and it's like teaching me so much, and like exactly what I was opposed to is exactly what I needed.
Ah.
And so it was big lessons, basically. It just keeps, my creative practice just keeps teaching me lessons, which is like why I now think of it as a spiritual practice as well, because it's just such a, like, that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to be endlessly feeding and changing and allowing you to grow.
Mm-hmm.
But now music's back, which is interesting. Cause, yeah. And like sculpture, like for the last couple of years, I kind of have been like, or in the last year, I had kind of been like, I'm not really feeling inspired to make these shapes anymore. And then I'm like, oh, music, there it is. So you just have to like keep turning.
Yeah. What a blessing to be able to like hop around, and it's like, people can't like see where I'm sitting right now, but it's like I see like your DNA all over this space, and I'm just like,
you're in art storage headquarters.
Yeah, no, it's like this beautiful table, like the art on the walls, and it's like I see, like when I see it all, I'm just like, oh yeah, that's Murphy's art. And it's like the transference of like the signature like through across mediums. I haven't listened to your music, but I'm sure that there's an undulation within it that mimics the shapes that I see here.
Yeah. The last, like the song I'm working on right now, I was actually just listening to it and being like, oh, wow, this is like actually the sound I want to make. And it like sounds like the stuff that I make visually.
Mm-hmm.
It's really dope. Yeah. So I'm like, whoa, cool.
Yeah. And there a lot of the times it's like so unintentional. The thing that sets you apart from everything else, it's like, that's not something that you like whittle away. It just arrives.
Yeah, and like, it's just what you're drawn gift. To.
Yeah.
And once again, like, do what you're excited about. Like,
yeah, that's the episode you. Title, by the way.
For sure. Yeah. Apparently.
Like, you started with that. I was like, yep, that's what it is. Do what it excites you. Perfect. But yeah, just to see, I guess, like, the level of execution that you've been able to achieve. Because there's, like, I respect everyone who does art and, like, that tries art and stuff like that. But then, like, there's, like, a certain, like, level of mastery that some achieve that, like, sets themselves in a new space where it's, like, you cultivated your own world.
More like obsession. Level of obsession.
Well, that's a good thing, but that's, like, what it takes for it to stand out.
It's kind of
like,
true.
The work stands out, and it's just, like, cool. It's, like, I don't have to, like, I don't want to say, like, I have to, like, worry about Murphy, because I know Murphy's, like, doing, like, what does, like, excite you. So,
yeah.
But it's, like, the energy and the effort is all going to a very, like, life-affirming place. You said that your goal is to inspire, and it's like when I'm feeling this object, I'm just like, oh shit, like, you made that with your hands and your brain, and it's probably started as like a little like scribble, and yep. then it's like
I
a physical
it
it's a physical manifestation, and that's what we're here to do as humans, is to imagine and then to materialize to whatever extent, like, whether those are dreams or
yeah.
or thoughts, or materializing and changing the chemistry of our bodies. Like, that's what we're here to do.
Create an experience.
Yeah, whether that's positive or negative, it's like, that's what we're always doing.
Yeah.
And to take a hold of that, and, like, saying that your, like, art is, like, a spiritual practice, it's like, that's exactly what it is. And we're always engaging in that practice, whether we think that we are or not, or, like, we're not an artist, or no, like, we're all creators. Like, we're all creating at all times.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. What is it?
Big feel collaboration.
Like? Yeah. It's a huge collaboration. It's like, everyone has to find, like, their, like, how they're best served. Like, what is my service to humanity? And once you find that, like, that's another part of the feeling of just, like, releasing and just being able to, like, relax and be like, oh, like, I'm not going to stress about, like, things that I'm not passionate about. It's like, the world literally, like, wants to pull me away from us sitting down right here. Like, the material, physical world that is TMZ and all that shit.
Yeah.
Like, they want to bust into this room, turn off these microphones, tear us out of this space, and throw us in a cubicle and say, like, don't get up for another 8 hours.
Yeah.
And
pay attention to this weird stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Pay attention to this shit that quote unquote matters or whatever.
Right.
Like, this is something that it isn't given importance, like, socially. And it's just like, and I think that's where a lot of people are afraid of it too. It's just like, creativity comes in steps, like, oh, we scheduled this thing, like, 11 a.m. on, what's today, Wednesday? On Wednesday, it was like, it's in the calendar. All right, we show up, we have the equipment, we have the things, and it didn't require anything outside of just showing up and being there. And I think a lot of people put these barricades between themselves and just showing up, or just saying yes to the thing. And that's one of the things that I feel like is, like, a priority of this podcast. It's like, let's remove those barriers that we've placed in front of ourselves to start creating things.
And that's self-love. That's, like, literally loving yourself is like taking the, like, you're like, how mean is that to put barriers up in front of yourself? That's mean.
Self-mean.
Yeah, that's self-mean. That's not self-love. But that's what I was in my head. I'm going, like, yeah, that's the thing. That's, like, what's, you know, you find your service to humanity, but, like, to find that, you have to love yourself. And you have to, like the reason I have all these sculptures is because I've invested a bunch of my time and money into, like, making them. And it's, like, you know, it's not easy to invest in yourself.
Mm-mm.
It's, like, it should be, but it's not.
Sure.
So, like, and that's part of self-love. Like, just being like, I want to make this thing and I think it's going to be really dope. Like, I'm going to do it. Like, that's a big barrier to bring down. But in doing so, that is, like, a big step towards loving yourself, like, truly loving yourself. So,
mm-hmm.
So that's I think in order to serve, like, the world, you have to serve yourself.
Yeah, most definitely. When did you like come across that realization?
Oh gosh, I don't know. Maybe just now.
Yeah,
no, I'm just kidding.
Like I just said it.
It was. I don't think there was a point, but it was just like a slow process of going like, oh yeah, that's why. Like I've always like, even in like high school, I loved photography in high school, and I had the like I used up more of the school server than like anyone in school history. I had like 50 gigs of photos on there or something. Like I've always been like, just maybe obsessive, yes, but also like really like saw my own value. Like I could like, I like went and I took a photo that was nice, and I'm like, I can do that more. Like I like that. Like I want to keep doing that. That's cool. And doing what excites me, of course. I'm like, I let myself do that stuff. And so like by doing it enough times, I go, oh, that's what people were talking about when they talk about self-love. Like that's my form of self-love, is like allowing myself to like dive into stuff like this and like make myself a cool coffee table that took like a whole summer to make.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah. I found self-love to be more and more just like the practice. It's like, it's a part of my practice now. And in instances when I do step out of like a self-loving place, like even like recently where I just felt like this tension in my heart, and I was just like, oh, like Aaron, like how did you not like capitalize on this like opportunity? Mm-hmm. Like what the hell? Like why are you like this type of thing? And that's like what the sensation was. I wasn't like verbally saying these things to myself, but I could sense like this sense of regret, like of missing like the mark. Mm-hmm. And not appreciating this feeling as like evidence as to like what I don't want to experience. And I knew that had I taken this shot or just like put myself out there, regardless of like the result, I would have been a lot happier than had I not said anything. And that's like what I grew up being, like a super shy kid and not feeling deserving of things and, mm-hmm. and not loving myself to that extent. So when that old program comes up, and I'm always working on it, of like knowing what my worth is and knowing that I am deserving and that, yeah, like that I am worth it. But I think in those moments that I'll catch myself where it's like, oh, I'm having a great day, and then something happens and it's like I don't speak up or I don't like approach or whatever, and I'm like, afterwards, I'm like, Aaron, like, it would have been fine. Like, why are you trying to protect yourself or type of thing? And then the work comes after that, because it was like you need that stimulus to show you the pain point. And it's like, oh, it fucking hurts. Like, this shit is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like nudging you or nudging me to go back to self-love. So here's the trail, not to go left and go down this other place. It's like, here's an opportunity to like love yourself again.
Totally.
And I'm like, oh, like this is okay. Like let's take this step. Let's hold hands and get back to self and appreciate myself and know that I'm worthy and like say my affirmations to self and then build self back up again. And then like when I see like other opportunities, I'm just like, okay, like I want to be in an empowered place, not because I feel like I'm forcing myself to do something that I don't feel like in that moment. And it's, it was it's a very interesting, I guess, like dance towards like truth or coherence, where it's just you get away and that distance used to be a long way. And I wasn't able to like articulate what it actually was. But now, anytime I just feel bad, it's like, oh, I'm not loving myself right now.
Yeah.
And that's just like that's what it always boils down to. It's just like this tension, like, I'm not loving myself right now. How do I love myself in this moment right now?
And I love that you use your name. You refer to yourself in those moments. You go, Aaron, why? Like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's such a good practice to be like, to talk to yourself. Like when I'm like down on myself or like feeling not worthy, things like that, I'm always like, Murph, why are you being mean? Like, why are you doing that to yourself? Like, what's going on? Like, why? Like, don't do that.
You're good.
Like, just kind of, it's like, by saying your name, it's almost like a wake up thing. Like, it's a total like, oh yeah, yeah, I don't need to do that. Like, it's kind of, you can turn it into like a trigger to be present and to be like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah, trigger to be present. That's another good one right there.
Well, there's this old like Zen, there's this old Zen story of like this guy who comes in to the Zen boot, to the Zen master, and he goes, he like, you know, he's like, what's the meaning of Zen? Like, what's going on? And the Buddhist, like the monk, like just, you know, gives him the whole spiel and then like sends him on his way. And as he's, the guy's walking out the door, he says his name. He goes like, Aaron. And he turns around and he goes, that's Zen. Like, just the act of just being. Mm-hmm. So like, I think there's a big part of the more you love yourself, the more you trust yourself, and the more you trust your intuition. So like, all the times that you don't go and like say hi to somebody, or like don't, you know, pursue this one thing, like, yes, maybe it's you holding yourself back, but also, is it your intuition? Is it like you actually being like, that's not the best thing for me right now? Like, it's not going to be good right now. Like, I'll see that that opportunity will come back again if it's meant to, or if I'm ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the trust, the self-trust, like, that's something that, oof.
Yeah, that's
like,
hard.
It takes a long time to like build that. And it's like, it kind of like shows up. Like, it's definitely like a somatic like experience. It's just like, there's no desire to like have to prove self or anything. It's just like, I'm good.
Yeah, here I am.
Yeah, I've experienced that more and more like lately.
Nice.
Without like the need of any sort of validation, and just be like, cool, everything's gonna work out. And I think that comes back to like just spiritual practice and learning how to talk to God, or whatever conception of God that you have. It's like, oh, like, I could be talking to myself, but I could be talking to God. It does. Uh-huh. It's like, it's, this is my experience.
And both at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. But I guess while we're on that topic, like, when you gave me like the tour of your home, not to be nosy, but I saw that you had like a singing bowl and like a little like sacred corner over there. Do you mind if I ask you about what that is?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Your practice, if you have any.
Yeah. It's funny. Like, I'm pretty loose with myself with my practice. I kind of like, I like the like moving Zen, the Tao, and like, I've been getting way more into like my own actual heritage. Like, in the, like, I'm pretty Irish. My name's Murphy. So this is my grandma's maiden name. She was 100% Irish. So like the Druid pagan stuff. So I've been kind of like stitching these weird things together. And I really like the concept of Kashmir Shaivism, which is like the, like learning about stuff, like continually learning and talking and thinking and like getting to God that way. Mm. This is a very interesting, it resonates with me because it's what I do kind of. It's like intuitively, that's what I've been doing. And also like, yeah, I don't know. There's just all these different practices that I could just do one, but I'm kind of like doing my own and feeding, letting all those things feed my creativity. Mm. So my practice is pretty loose. I kind of like the real, what I consider my spiritual practice is just like getting up, making my bed, and then I do the Tibetan rites, which is like a series of exercises. I just do that every day, and that really like brings me back into like a baseline. And so that's like a big thing for me. And then as far as like actually sitting and like sitting down in Zazen, or like just sitting on a pillow and meditating, I do it like sporadically. It's not a thing where I'm like, because I've done the thing where I try to like have set times that I do it, and it doesn't really resonate. It doesn't work with me. It definitely works better when I exercise and chant beforehand, which is kind of a thing that I realize that a lot of people do. A lot of people try to force themselves to just sit down out of nowhere, like right in the morning, or like some, or like as they're relaxed. And I'm like, that's, your mind is going to go nuts. Like, it's going to be like the hardest thing to wrangle. And like, I realized that, like, you know, in Tibet, they would do these Tibetan rites, and then they would do more exercises, and then they would do a bunch of chants that like get you to the end of your breath. And like, your body is in a different state. They're literally altering their consciousness and then sitting down to meditate. So I usually like will pick times that I feel that call to sit down and meditate.
Yeah.
And The chanting is a good one. I like to do that in the morning too sometimes. I just do a bunch of ohms, really. Mm-hmm. I don't really do any like of the Zen chants or the any of those types of like saying words or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just the noise. I've been like very, obviously music is back in my creative practice, so I've been obsessed with noise. So making noise has felt good, hence the singing bowl and the and like chanting and a Shruti box in my future. I don't know if you know what that is. It's like a almost like an accordion, but it just it's like a drowning tool, and you can like harmonize with it or resonate with it. So you kind of sing with it, and you just you can like ohm with it, and just it is so interesting. Very, very interesting thing.
That's dope. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah,
yeah. I like the idea that like you can create constantly, like evolve your practice. It's not something that's this fixed thing. Where it's like, all right, sit in timeout now. It's yeah. not a punishment, y'all. It's not like
yeah.
spiritual practice is not a punishment. And
there's merit to that though, too, to getting through that, to like hating your practice.
Yeah.
And then but just still doing it.
Yeah.
So there's discipline is a big thing about spiritual practice, but I feel like I have a lot of discipline in my creative work, and that's where I put that. And that's where I learned those lessons there. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm the other way around. Spiritual practice gave me discipline that I apply in other parts of my life.
Nice.
And like once you do something enough and then it's like, oh, like this is the process, I could just apply this same process to this other thing in my
yeah.
life. And there's so much out there too, like that we can connect with, like you were talking about, like connecting to like your heritage, and everybody has like that. And
yeah,
like how do you feel like either in like your Tibetan like movements or making your bed, or even like within like creating art, like experiencing consciousness or God or like oneness, like what does that feel like when you're in that mode when there is no self?
Oh yeah, I mean it's like it's the flow state to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's often comes as reverence. It's like I'll be like making something, and then I will like either look away or even look at the thing I'm making, and I'm like in like get the detail is just so you're like, I can't believe this is real. it's like an awe inspiring awe, and reverence is like a big one for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of my, obviously since I create visual and like auditory art, like it's just like the senses, it always comes from the senses. It's always like I look at a plant and I'm like, that's amazing. Just jaw dropping, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, and it could just be a plant that I walk by every day. It could be a plant that I live with. And I'm like, whoa, there's a new perspective. There's a new, if everything feels new.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good one too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All in reverence and like the, what is the word for it? Well, everything feels new. That's good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. The like appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's something that, like, when you say like look to the left or right, and then it's like, oh my gosh, like I'm here, like uh-huh. oh my gosh, like this is great, like thank you so much, like,
yeah,
like I'll walk out of my door and just like look around and just be like, oh my gosh, like I'm so grateful like to be here, and just know that it's like a gift. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, like that, like there was an intention in the universe yeah. for me to be here to experience this right now.
Yeah. And I often feel like content in those moments
because
mm-hmm. you're like, oh, it's fine.
Yeah. It's all, it's
everything's
all,
fine.
It's all good. I love coming into that knowing of truth. Like that's, yeah. I wish we can like just give that to more people. And I think
yeah.
that's like the purpose of our art is to,
oh yeah.
to allow people to tap into that experience, because it's like everybody's birthright to experience peace and harmony with self.
Absolutely.
But it's yeah, there's a lot of forces that pull us away from that knowing.
Right. And it's your birthright to experience anything that happens, everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's the crazy thing about existence is you can play in whatever realm you want to play in.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's like absolute suffering or absolute joy and pleasure or curiosity, yeah, anything.
Yeah, free will is like, that's something that I was listening to a podcast today where they're talking about free will and choice, and it's just like, yo, like anything that you say or do is like 100% correct, and it's like you have the power to either prolong this suffering
yeah.
or to put an end to it. And
yeah,
start practicing self-love. Like, it's all on you. Like, there's no external situation that's like stopping you. Obviously there is suffering in the world caused by other humans and otherwise, but
right,
like, most of it is on you. And at least, like, when you take the accountability for it, it's like, whenever there's something that happens, that's like, I want to take responsibility for everything that happens into this experience, how I respond to things. Like, it's all mine that I need to work on and that I need to process. Like, if I'm triggered by something, it's like, ooh, like, that's funky, Aaron. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like you said, like, what's going on with self? Like, this is mine. This isn't somebody else's thing. Like, you're outraged at something that's happening across the world. It's like, no, that's your suffering. That's your pain that you need to deal with.
Which feels like a lot of responsibility, and it kind of is, but it's also like a lot of liberation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's like you have picked up a big, big rock, but it actually made you lighter.
That's funny.
It's weird. It's such a weird contradiction, but that's kind of the nature of this as well, is contradiction.
Yeah. And like, once you like realize that, then it's like you start seeking the work. It's like, I'm seeking difficulty now. I'm like, who the fuck else is, who the fuck else is doing like 250-pound squats at Monday morning at 6 a.m.? I'm like, yo, where can I like suffer a little bit more, just so like life gets a little bit easier?
Yeah.
It's like the sauna. It's like sitting in like 200 degrees.
Sweltering.
And just like, oh, this fucking sucks. But it's like afterwards, I'm like,
feel great.
No stress. just let it go completely. It's like,
the how pressure cooker.
Yeah. How could I get mad? Like, people cut me off on the road and stuff. I'm just like, it happened.
Yeah.
It literally happened. It's like, that's why I don't understand.
Yeah,
like,
that was
done. That's why I don't understand honking. Cause it's like, yo, they already did the thing. Like, by the time you like recognize and like respond to it, it's already over. It's so like, now you're like honking to yourself now, because it's like, they already did it.
That type of honk is like the, oh, let me give you some of my pain.
Yeah.
Like, let me give you some of my suffering.
Yeah.
And you do give it to them, but you don't get rid of any.
No. No. Yeah, that's wild. Okay, so before, like, we got about like 10 minutes left, but
okay.
Like, I do want to talk about like the importance of like the through line. One of the through lines that I see in all your work is nature, and they have ephemeral qualities. Like, where's the inspiration from nature, or just kind of riff on like the importance of nature, or like your connection to nature?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a lifelong thing. As a kid, I spent like 6 months on the road with my parents. They were we were headed up to Alaska they were going to go work above the Arctic Circle there, in medicine. And they like always need traveling people up there, cause it's just not a lot of people up there. So they always bring in people and pay them a lot of money to go up there. So we basically funded this whole like long road trip where we camped and hiked like every day.
Mm.
So there's this huge part of my childhood that was just connected to nature, like deep, like pretty deeply connected to nature, just always in it. Like, I almost took it for granted because it was always there. So I feel like a lot of it comes from that, sort of. But also, like, you know, the reconnection to nature as I got older, because I lived in Chicago for about 8 years, and it was like, it's kind of hard to get, you have to seek it out there. To find nature, and there's not a big desire to go out of the city because it's just cornfields, which are cool once or twice, and then you're like, okay, I've seen it, like, is there anything else, can I go explore anything else? And so a reconnection to nature came from, I mean, psychedelics. It's like such a big shift, and like such a useful tool, and such a like, what an amazing like cheat code / I mean, talk about vegetable gods, like, you're literally talking to these psychedelics, talking to these plants, and that kind of, like, really sparked me onto a path of, like, taking care of my body and, like, all of these things, like, in preparation for making the stuff that I make now, kind of, and it's just continued, like, it's, the appreciation of nature is, like, it's part of my meditation. It's part of, like, when I'm struggling with something, when I'm having a hard time and like I feel like I'm disconnecting, I immediately leap to looking at a plant. Like, I like look around for a living being that is usually a plant, and it's like, yeah, it's just such a, like, it's home. It's like, that's, it's such a connector. And that's like kind of, I mean, like, you know, a lot of my stuff, I compare it to the, in my head, I don't know if I've even, I don't know who I've told this to, probably like nobody, but I compare it to seafoam spray shapes. Like, if you ever see pictures, like a flash photo of the seafoam spray, a lot of those shapes in there, I'm like, I'm making those shapes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this like perfect chaos of nature, this like unmatchable, like the unmatchable chaotic order of like water shaping a rock or a wave splashing against the shore. Like, mm-hmm. it's just these, like, it's the awe and reverence of how effortless and how intricate everything around us is.
Yes. Message for sure. No, I definitely experienced like the wisdom of nature, like especially like through psychedelics, and I find that I have to do psychedelics like in nature. Like, I don't want to do them anywhere else. Like, don't.
No, like, you can find some interesting things, but
sure. But it's like, I don't know. Like,
the lesson will always be go back out there.
Yeah, it's like the connectivity. It's like the dialogue. It's like, I don't feel like I have a dialogue. Like, it's like a dialogue with self. If I'm at home or just like around, it's like I'm speaking to self. But then like when I'm in nature, like I'm speaking to the plants, I'm speaking to spirit. There's that reciprocal nature. But I think reciprocal nature.
Yep. that's how it goes.
That's funny. That's hilarious. But yeah, like what you're saying, like the irreplicable slice of genius that is nature, and like the constantly dying and birthing of nature. And I think it's the ultimate teacher. Like part of like my healing journey started like after my mother passed, like going out to Timothy Lake with my dog and just camping by ourselves and doing mushrooms like a good amount. That was like, that spawned like everything that I'm doing now. It's like I needed cool. that. That was a part of this experience, and I'm so glad that I got to experience it like with my dog, my best friend. Like my dog, who is my best friend.
Yeah.
And just spirit and like the trees, and like I needed that, and I didn't know what I was going for. Like I just was like, I just got to get out of here. And
yeah,
like to take that time. And it's so like accessible. And I wish more people like took the time to like initiate their healing journeys, or just to experience nature and with mushrooms or whatever you decide.
Yeah, or even just going out there and breathing weird.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do, whatever you're comfortable with.
Some breath work, but it's like the healing qualities of nature. It's like, you're not going to have like a wristband that says this is patient number 005500.
No.
But nevertheless, you're being healed. You're being touched by the consciousness that is. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, I have like this concept that it's going to have an expression, but I call it yield to nature, because it's cool. Like in that pause, in the yielding, because it doesn't mean that you're like immobile. It's like you're going to go, but like allow nature to take the lead, and you may be sitting in silence for a while, but nature will choose the right way, and then we follow where it takes us.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what a beautiful, like, I mean, that it seems like there's a deep human history of being caretakers of the planet. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're like kind of discovering, that before, you know, all this modern stuff started taking hold, and we started, you know, creating on like this, in this strange industrial way, like there was a deep, deep time human history where we just listened to the earth and helped it out and mm-hmm. and followed it. Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah. There's knowledge there.
I agree. Well, this is a amazing conversation that I could have all day long. But is there anything else you'd like to share with our beautiful listeners?
I can give you one more mantra.
Yes.
This one's funny, but I really like it. Once you got the sauce, you can put it on anything. So find your sauce and then everything. You can put it on anything.
Yes, I love that. where can people find you on the interwebs?
I'm pretty active on Instagram, and my Instagram is MurfSkirt, MRRFSKRRT. And I have a website, murphywelch.art.
Dope. Well, thank you, Murphy. And thank you all for listening to Opening Presents.